Hallelujah. You heard that tremendous testimony of how God's grace got a hold of a young man and changed his life. And you're here tonight, and you need that kind of grace. You need something that'll change your life. You know that you need a Savior. We talk about eternal life. At the end of this life, what is ahead for you? Through Jesus, you can know that you will enter in to everlasting life. I'm going to ask the choir to sing the chorus one more time. And if you're here and you know you need a Savior, I want to invite you to come to this step we use as an altar. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And it's that simple. We even have an illustration. Peter was walking on water. We won't go into that story, but when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And the scripture said, he hollered out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed hold of Peter and lifted him up above the wave, above the water, the sinking. Maybe you feel that way tonight. You feel like you're just drowning. Whatever it is, I want you to know if you'll call on his name, he'll reach out and get a hold of you, lift you up. Amen. I'm having to sing one more time. If you need Jesus, these altars are open. Would you sing? Cares, you need a Savior.
If you were in there,
do you need Jesus tonight?
I love you.
You can know what it is to love Him because He loves us. Jesus tonight.
You cared, I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you. Because you cared, I couldn't imagine if you weren't there.
Amen. The choir has sung it now. Church, would you lift up your hearts and hands and just tell Him you love Him? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. That invitation stands open. Amen. If you would. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Brother Dave, if you go ahead and come, I didn't get a chance to speak to Brother Gary, so if you'll come and to the bus. Brother Brad, if you come over here, you take the drums. Praise the Lord. We began this series several Sunday nights ago. We've been sovereignly interrupted every Sunday evening with the moving of the Spirit, accomplishing eternal things in our hearts. And so we're just now going to revisit it, and then we'll soon be in revival. And so I just want you to know, I feel this on my heart, and we'll be, whenever we get back to this, we will be emphasizing this again, because it's a simple premise that if you have come to know Christ, Christ has given you a gift. He's got a place for you in His body, a part that you can play in His kingdom. And that's a wonderful thing to know and to function in. You can remain seated, but the verse is, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You received the gift. Minister, use that gift in service one to another. Amen. This series is simply this. What on earth are you in the church for? What on earth are you in the church for? Every man has received a gift. Use that gift to minister. Now, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing when folks are using their gifts. Amen. Sometimes we forget some folks. Now, I'm going to give this illustration because it's visible, but I don't want you to think the gifts are just visible, okay? And as a quick illustration of that, if you can turn around, if you don't, if you have whiplash or something, don't do that. But turn around and look back in the back. We got two men back there. You see them? Wave at them. See, they are awake. They really are. Wave at them. All right, good. Thank you, brothers. And we got some up here. This is just for the sake of illustration. And key of G, what they're going to do for you, and they're helping because they're controlling the volume back there and the words and everything. Amen. What they're going to do, they're going to sing, let's just sing Victory in Jesus. Could you do that? You guys ready? Brother Brad, you start them out. Chorus, whatever you want to do. Just chorus. Sing it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Didn't that sound good? How many are almost started getting happy there? Just victory. And didn't that sound good? All right. Well, let's do something here. I want you two to change places. Could you do that? Okay. And Brother Tim, won't you come here? And I want Sister Trisha to take his place back there. Right over here, brother. Now, we've got a replacement back in the tech room. Brother Mike Durth usually handles our things on the screen, and he was going to do this, and he couldn't be here tonight. He's on vacation or something. So, Brother Michael, I want you to take Brad. I didn't think that through. Got Brad and Trisha both back there in that little room, but.
I'm not complaining.
All right. Now, I've got to give him some instructions. First of all, Trisha, this mic don't sound right. Could you fix? You really can't do. You'll mess it up. But can you help me with the monitors here? Turned up a little bit. Okay. Come on. Now, this mic over here. Get this one over here. Take care. This mic. No. Okay. Over here on the back here. The monitor back. Okay. You guys ready? You guys ready? You ready? Let's go. Victory in Jesus. Key of G, brother. Brother Tim. Key of G. Give it your best. Give it your best. Let's hear it. Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.
A little more on the...
He sought me and bought all that I am is on the altar of you.
This is great.
I think
okay.
We got the wrong key, brother.
Okay, now I've got some questions here. First of all, church, how many was just really blessed by that second rendition? Let me see, just really. I mean, besides the kids, I mean, Bentley, boy, you were blessed. But I mean, basically, how many felt moved in your spirit? You might have felt moved to pray, but I mean, just blessed. Okay, let me ask something, Brother Tim. How comfortable did you feel up here?
Trisha did a much better job, even with a handicap.
She had a thing about it. I'm sorry, guys. What happened here? I mean, even you two, you were doing fine a while ago. What happened? Out of place. Amen. What about it? Brother Brad, you did pretty good on that because you know something about computers, but where would you feel more comfortable? Just right up here, wouldn't you? Amen. Thank you guys so much. That's just a quick illustration. When we know our gifts, and we allow Christ to put us in our place in the church, two things happen. Number one, we feel fulfilled. Number two, the body is blessed. When we're not in our place and we're not using our gift, two things happen. We don't feel fulfilled, and the church isn't blessed. You know, here's the thing. It's awful not to feel like you belong. And that's why I love to tell folks, you know, there's a lot of reasons for getting saved. One of them is you never really belong out in this world. It's fragmented. You'll never really be a part. But if you become a born-again believer, you're put in a place where you have a part, you have a role, you belong in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to feel like you belong. And it's a terrible thing to feel like you don't belong. And it's terrible. Listen to this. This is important. It's terrible to even come to church and still feel like you don't belong. If there's one of the top of the list things that I deal with as pastor, from children to teenagers to on up, middle folks on up, it's people feeling like they don't belong. I've had folks come to me and say, well, sometimes I just don't feel like I belong in the church. I said, that's nothing. I'm the pastor. Sometimes I don't feel like I belong. And I'm not going to get on that message. It's part of the human condition. Sin alienates us, and we've got things that make us. But I just want to briefly say this. If you feel like you don't belong, let me give you three quick things that are possible. Number one, the lies of Satan. Satan's very name means the accuser of the brethren. And Satan will come to you and tell you, you don't belong. That's not where you fit in. You're not a part of that body. You're not a part of that family. You don't belong in the church. How many know Satan lies that way? He sure does. And secondly, some people don't feel like they belong because they don't seek to belong. Now, I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm not gunning for anybody. I don't have anybody in my mind. But if every service you come 10 minutes after it starts and you leave before folks are through praying and you never stay around to chat and you never seek to be involved in the ministries, then when you come to me and say, well, I don't feel like I belong, there's a reason for that. You don't try to belong. How many believes if we try to belong, we'll feel more like we belong? I've got to get something straight, too. I just remembered I did. I led folks astray this morning. I talked about a Daniel that had set his phone for 12 o'clock and wouldn't know if I was going to be through preaching. How many remembers that? Well, I had the name wrong, and everyone thought it was Brother Kroger. It wasn't Brother Kroger. It was one of our kids that has come on the bus. It was Matt. And I knew it was a Bible name, and Daniel just came to me. And I guess he got a new phone he was proud of. So I just wanted to clear that up. It wasn't Brother Kroger. He sets his for 12:30. But anyway, if you don't feel like you belong, it's either the lies of Satan or you don't seek to belong. But the third thing, and I think this is where we're at tonight, if you don't feel like you belong, it's because you've not yet let God show you the gift that He has given you so that you can play the role He has for you in the church. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do through this series. He wants every one of us to discover what our gift is and to know that role He'd have us play in this church body. I've said this many times, and I want to say it again tonight. We are together what we could never be apart. When we come together with our different gifts, we can do so much. I'm going to make one of those statements that seems so simple, but it's so, so true. People that feel apart are people who take apart. Amen? People who feel apart are those who take part in what God wants to do. And to take a part, you must want to be a part. And to be a part, you must know what God has gifted you to do and what that part is. Now, before I go any further, I want to say this tonight. In finding out what your gift is and the place that you fit in the body of Christ, you are not alone on this. Because the head of the church, the master, Jesus, he is here to help you discover your God-given gift and where you fit in the body of Christ. He has come to show you that. And he sends his Holy Spirit to move in our midst and to move upon us to help us discover what that gift. You know, I want to tell you this. I really would like to believe, and I do believe this, that through the teaching, as we hear what God is saying, through the teaching, the Holy Spirit is speaking to different ones and saying, yes, you do have a gift, and yes, I'm going to help you find out what it is, and yes, I've got a role for you to play in my body. And I believe he's at work doing that, even through this teaching. And I want to give one verse that seems disconnected, but I think we need to hear it tonight. It's in the Psalm 138. And the psalmist said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I want you to know, you can believe that. God will perfect you and your life and the role you play. Isn't that the kind of God we serve? How many believes he's at work in your individual life? He'll perfect that. Now, I want to tell you where we're going, and I'm just going to offer a summary tonight, and we will be more specific another night. I just want to give you an overview tonight of where we're headed. First of all, we are going to talk about what the inclinational gifts are. I explained the last time we were here, there's three groupings of gift in Scripture. There's the positional gifts, and just very brief, that's like apostle and evangelist and pastor. There's the positional gifts. There's the inspirational gifts, gifts of miracles, gifts of faith and knowledge, and gifts of healing and discerning of spirits. And then there's inclinational gifts. We're going to learn what the inclinational gifts are. Secondly, we're going to talk about how to know which is yours. How to know which is yours. Thirdly, we're going to talk about how to use your gift. How to use your gift from young on up. And fourthly, or wherever I'm at, how to find out where in the body to use your gift. Where in the body to use your gift. Those are the things that we're going to look at. But tonight, we're just going to talk briefly and have an overview of what the inclinational gifts are. Now, I want to remind you, and I think I have a slide for this, there's other things to call the inclinational gifts that for you might make them more understandable. Another name for the inclinational gifts is motivational gifts. Motivation. You feel a motivation to do something. That is an inclinational, you're inclined to do that. You say, oh, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be involved in that. I would really love to reach out that way or whatever it is. You're motivated to that. And another thing these gifts are called are ministry gifts, because the word ministry means service. And these are gifts whereby we can serve one another. I read that in the text tonight. We've been given a gift to serve one another. And so we're going to look tonight at an overview of these. And we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. And this is where Paul gives us a picture of everyone using their gifts. And he gives it under the analogy of a body. And he talks about different parts of the body do different things. The eye sees, the ear hears, the hand grasps, and on we can go. The different parts of the body do different things. And in verse 4, let me read this to you as you watch it here. But For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many, there's many here tonight, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You know, that says a lot of things. I don't have time to preach tonight, but first of all, it says that everyone is needed. Every member has a place. Every member has a role. Every member is needed, and every member has a specific role. That'll be a message for another night. But the eye does not hear, and the ear does not see, but the eye sees, and the ear hears, and so forth. Everybody has a specific role to play. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then we're going to look at these, but what I want you to see right now is that word differing. Having then gifts differing. Every person's gift is different because every person is different. Now, I mixed it up right here a while ago. You saw that. You saw that. But you wouldn't believe the work that Brother Tim does back in that room and taking care of things. How many knows that we 24/7 are streaming the Word of God out to the world? Do you know that? That took a lot of work to set up, and Brother John was involved in that in different ones. But that's so important. You say, I don't have that gift, but you have some gift. You say, I can't play the piano. Well, you have some gift. Amen? And I tell you what, you know, I mean, I really appreciate those that are talented, so I'm not downing them. I'm using that as an illustration. But if that tulip back there is overflowing, they can play that piano really beautifully, and it's still going to overflow. But some of you have a gift with that plunger. You know just how to do it. I've never had someone come to me and say, I had that gift yet. You might before we're through the series, amen. But isn't that important if we got that problem? It's very important. Now, here's the overview. First of all, in verse 6, we see the first of these inclinational gifts. It says, whether of prophecy, let us prophesy. Now, these gifts are used in worship. They're used on the platform. They're used in a visible way. But I don't want you to think that these are only used in worship, because they're not. Even prophecy is not used just in worship. Now, we have a little problem with this. Do you have the slide that has prophecy on it? Go ahead and put that up there. When we think of prophecy, we think of telling the future, foretelling the future. But how many realizes that only about 1/5 of prophecy is foretelling future? 4/5, around 4/5 of prophecy has nothing to do with foretelling the future. It has to do with interpreting the behavior of God's people in light of God's word. You read the Old Testament prophets, they're called a prophet because they came along and said, you are behaving this way, but God's word says you ought to behave this way, a different way. You say, do I have the gift of prophecy? What is the gift of prophecy? And this is just a summary. The gift of prophecy is the inclination, there's that inclinational gift, to speak out when you see injustice and sin and wrong, and there's something in you when you see injustice and wrong, you want to set it right. You want to set it right. I've seen young people. Now, you got to watch. We're not going to talk about that tonight. Every gift has its responsibilities. And you got to realize that we're held accountable for our gifts. If you got a prophetic gift, you just like to tell people how the cow ate the cabbage, but you're responsible that you tell them in a way that's right, spirited, et cetera, et cetera. But even young people can have this gift. And I didn't know this was going to show up. I left it in the notes there. But a young person with a prophetic gift, here's how it works. Young people are together and somebody says, oh, let's watch this movie. And they put the movie in and there's things on there that are just bad. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to go into that. You know it's bad. A young person with this gift, all of a sudden, not smart aleck, not mean, they'll say, hey, wait a minute. We can't watch this. We're Christians. I mean, that's awful stuff. Let's turn that off. If you feel that strong inclination to do that, that is a prophetic gift that God has given you. That's what prophets do. They say to the people of God, wait a minute. That leads us into error. Wait a minute. That's sinful. Wait a minute. That's right. Let's not do that. Let's take the way of righteousness. And again, being an overview, I'm just going to give you a short example of these. And then the next gift is ministry. Verse 7, is it a gift of ministry? Then let us wait on our ministry. And, you know, I've got to hurry tonight, so I don't have time to do all this. When we see the word wait, we think of sitting like this, you know. They that wait. That's not what it means. Wait means to serve, like we call them a waiter and a waitress, because they serve us at a table. Let us serve on or with our ministry. And here's another thing with our mind, and people do this. We're so used, when we hear the word ministry, we think of people that's got a career of music, or they got a special a gift of music, or preaching, or they got a position in the church. We say they are in the ministry. That is so far from what the word ministry means. The word ministry is not that kind of position or vocation. The word ministry simply means to serve, to be a servant, diakonia. In fact, how many recognize that word, diakonia? I said it tonight in the service. Did anyone catch that? When did I say diakonia in the service? Did anyone catch it? Yes, at the offering time, I said, let the deacon of the night, let them come. That's where the word deacon comes from. Diakonia means to serve like a servant. You know, we get this thing sometimes, I'm a minister, you know. Got this special place, you know, come polish my shoes and bring me my food and all of this. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is serving. Serving is meeting somebody else's need. And so the gift of ministry is the inclination to see practical needs and to desire and to attempt to meet those needs. If you got this gift, you came to church tonight and you said, oh, there's water spilled on the floor. I need to take care of that. You saw a need. Or you say, you know, so-and-so, I noticed that their car out there wouldn't start this morning. Amen. I got to find some jumper cables for them. That's the gift of ministry. See, we got to reprogram our minds in the way we think of this. We think of ministry as singing and outreach and preaching, and ministry is involved in those things. But ministry in its most basic form is serving others by meeting needs. And let me just give you one example. Someone says, you know, so-and-so in the church, they've been sick for 3 weeks and their lawn needs mown. They see the need and then they desire to meet that need. They begin to go to two or three brothers and say, hey, can we get together on such and such a night and mow this lawn and take care of it? Now, I know the needs are in other ways. For instance, somebody is over here praying by themselves, and somebody with the gift of service says, you know, they really need help praying. They've really got a need. I'll go and pray with them. And so it'll manifest itself in different ways, but the basic gift of ministry is you see the need. I mean, it's just there. It's in your heart. You see the need, and you want to meet that person's need. And later we'll look at these specifically, and I'll give you more examples. The next inclinational gift is teaching. Again, verse 7. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Now again, I'm a teacher. I'm talking about in the church, in the body of Christ. And so I use the gift of teaching. But it's a mistake to think that only those that are in positions of teaching have the gift of teaching. Many people in the body of Christ have never been behind this pulpit, but they still have a gift of teaching. And you can be a young person and have the gift of teaching. What is the gift of teaching? It's the inclination to see the truth. But you don't just see what the truth is. You have a desire to present it accurately and orderly and thoroughly and clearly. You just love getting to what the truth is. And then you love thinking, how can I share this to make it clear so people can get a hold of this? I mean, even when I'm preaching, you that have a gift of teaching, you're saying, now, wait a minute. Is he going to answer this question? Is he going to deal with this? Is he going to share the other side of that? It's just in you. You think that way. Amen. The gift of teaching. And it may not be in a group. It may not be you standing in front of a group such as Sunday school. It may work on an individual level. It may be an older man in the church. He begins to see a younger man without a father. And he says, you know, they really need to know this and they need to know that. And as a mentor, he takes that young man aside. And he said, I just want to share some things with you. And he begins to make truth very clear, very precise to that young man, and he answers questions. He has that ability because it's his gift to teach. How many know some people know a whole lot? It's there, but they can't get it across the bridge. Yeah? Don't look at me that way. Anyway, gift of teaching, you're able to get it across the bridge. You're able to share it to different individuals. That's the gift of teaching. And then there's the gift of exhortation. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth, here's a gift, on exhortation. What is exhortation? It's the inclination to desire that folks do well, stay true, be faithful. It's an inclination to encourage people to get right or stay right with God. I could talk all night on that word exhortation. It's so important. But when you have the gift of exhortation, it operates like this. You see somebody that has been doing very good serving God, and you see them growing cold in their soul, and you can't stand it, and you're not smart aleck, and you don't come across mean-spirited, but you go to to them and say, I've noticed some changes in your life lately, and I've been praying for you. And you know, really, really, I see this danger in your life, and you're getting involved in this, and it's going to take you away from Christ, and it's going to hurt you. And it may be an older person with a younger person, or maybe a younger person going to their friend and say, you know, I just really see, and it may operate in a testimony service. Somebody may stand up and say, you know, we really need revival. And again, it's not in a bad spirit. It's in the spirit. I want you to do right. I want us to do right. I'm cheering us on. And in that type of exhortation is a real gift. When you see people in trouble, you want to share with them in a way to help them get right back with God where they need to be and to go forward in God. I saw this in the operation the other night, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I saw somebody that is really trying to grow in the Lord and please the Lord, and they're having struggles in their life. And I saw Sister Mary watching them, and it wasn't long here. She came down to the altar, and I saw her talking to them. No, it was not mean. Sister Mary can't be mean. How many know that? But I mean, she was telling them, you need to be faithful to Christ. You need to, that's a gift of exhortation. How many knows that's needed? And when it's in the right spirit, amen, what a helpful thing. And then there's a gift of giving. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Giving is a gift. We're all instructed. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. We're all instructed to be givers as the people of God. But how many know some people just have a gift of giving? I mean, they see somebody that needs something, and they start reaching in their pocket. They start looking in their cupboard. They start going through their garage because they love to give. An inclinational gift of giving is one that, here's how it works. Do we have a slide for that? Yes. When seeing another in need, you begin to immediately think of how you can give your time and your resources, your expertise to alleviate others' needs. It may be you see somebody's car break down. You know they don't have any understanding of mechanics. And all of a sudden, you find yourself going to them and say, look, I'm off tomorrow. You need brakes? I know how to put brakes on. Would you let me come over and put brakes on your car? And you love it. It's not that you just give. You love to give it. You know, you can tell this. You can tell this in a mission service. Amen. Some people, they just love to give. I mean, when I announce a missionary's coming, they begin to think, get the checkbook out and think, how can I really be a blessing? They love to give. How many's ever known folks that had the gift of giving? You've been the recipient of that. Anyone ever been a recipient of the gift of giving? It's a wonderful thing. And then there is the gift of leadership. Look at verse 8 again. He that giveth, let him give. Do it with simplicity. He that ruleth. He that ruleth. This word, we got to be careful here because we get the idea of a king. I'm in charge here. You do this and you do that. No, ruleth here means to take the leadership. Come on, let's do this. Here's a need. I've organized how we can meet the need. And you can do this and you can do that. Follow me. Follow me and we'll get this need met. That's the gift of rulership. Or leadership. It's to lead people. It is the inclination to take a leadership role and organize and direct the work till it gets done. Amen. Leadership. And again, in this just quick summary here, there's a gift of mercy in verse 8. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, I talked this morning about sometimes when people, through fault of their own, get in terrible situations. Many of us have the response, they made their bed and let them lie in it. Isn't that true? Well, we really do. Not with a person with the gift of mercy. That person, it could have been the 15th time they've got themselves in trouble. It could have been totally their own fault. But someone with the gift of mercy says, oh, come on, let's help them again. Oh, I feel so bad for them. Oh, I want to help them in any way I can. The gift of mercy is the inclination to feel kindness and tenderness and compassion for people, even if they've brought the troubles upon themselves. There's just something that raises up in a person that has the gift of mercy. It just rises up within them. They just say, we got to help them. I just feel so bad for them. I like people with the gift of mercy. Oh, maybe not. You don't like that? Maybe you like people with the gift of criticism. That's not really a gift. Don't go looking for it. Would you prefer people with the gift of criticism or the gift of mercy? Would you prefer someone with the gift of judging or the gift of mercy? Mercy. Mercy. It's an inclinational gift. I want to quickly give you some gifts that are inferred. I won't go into them to this extent. And the remainder of Romans 12. Look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. There's people that show us in the body. They show us how to love one another. Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. There's a gift of loving people. Some people just know how to love people. I'm so thankful for those like that in the church. There are folks that strangers can walk in, and before they leave, they feel love because there's people in the church that have a gift to show love. Listen, just a few more here in chapter 12. There's the gift of passion. Look at verse 11. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. You know, some of us sing, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about my Jesus. Other people, they can get the mic and they got such a passion. I mean, they get everybody excited. What about patience? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. There are some that have the gift of patience. They just, you look at them and they just endure and encourage other people to endure. There's a gift of prayer. Oh, how we need the gift of prayer. We'll deal with this at some point. We need the gift of folks. I'm so thankful for people that have the gift of prayer. You wouldn't believe the folks in this church that just pray all through the week for the needs. Amen. There's a gift of prayer. Verse 12, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's care for the needy. Care for the needy. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. They want to care for those saints in need. There's a gift of hospitality. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I see new folks come to the church, and there's those of you immediately invite them to your house for fellowship, for dinner. That is such an important gift. And you know, as we think back in the past, we think of Sister Margie. We'd have new folks come in and get saved. I mean, it would just be a few services, and she'd have them invited to her house, or she'd take food by to them. That's a very, very important gift in the body of Christ, the gift of hospitality. Now, I want to make clear here, Paul didn't intend to give an exhaustive list. He's given us examples of how God gives different gifts to different people to play different roles in the body of Christ. It is not an exhaustive list. I want to look at one more verse tonight, though, before we're finished and show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I turn here not just because it has some inclinational gifts in this list, but it has examples of all three types of gifts. Remember, there's these positional gifts. Look what it says here. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. These are positional gifts. And then it shows us the inspirational gifts. After that, miracles. That's inspirational gifts. Gifts of healings. And at the end, diversity of tongues. Those are inspirational gifts. But what I want to show you here is the third category, and that is inclinational gifts. The gift, do you see it there? The gift of helps and governments. What is the gift of helps? It's the inclination to offer help whatever the need is. Inclination to offer help whatever the need is. I gave you my full notes, brother. I don't know how that happened, but that wasn't supposed to be there, but I'll talk to you about it. And I don't embarrass anyone, but several years ago, Brother Dan Kroger came to me and said, does anybody take care of changing the oil on the church vans and that kind of stuff? And I said, well, we got someone that oversees the vehicles, and we take it to the garage and stuff. He said, would you mind if I did that? And, you know, I just recently I said, Brother Dan, the young people, they're going to go to youth camp, and I haven't had a chance to check the oil on the van. He said, I'll take care of it. I'll check the oil, make sure the oil is changed, make sure everything, the water's levels. That's a gift of helps. Gift of helps. Brother Aaron's been a tremendous help to me just taking care. Did you know I forgot this morning? I came to church early, and I got involved in study, and it kind of looked like winter outside, you know, and I totally forgot to turn the air conditioners on, and all of a sudden I heard them come on. I mean, if it was Brother Aaron at home, he said, oh, he forgot to turn the air conditioners on. Gift of helps. How many knows that's a tremendous thing in the body of Christ? Amen. You know, he was gone several weeks back, and we had a missionary here. And he said, I'm not going to be there to close up tonight. And I said, well, the missionary's going to starve to death before I get away from church. Because right now, you know, I mean, I, when folks start to leave and it's appropriate time, I tell the missionary, let's go eat after church. And he stays to lock up. I told him, I said, the missionary's going to starve to death, and it's your fault because I got to stay and lock up the church tonight. Gift of helps. Then there's a gift of governments. What's the gift of governments? I wish some in our government had the gift of government. But anyway, what is the gift of government? The gift of government is the inclination to organize, plan, systematize. You know, some folks have great ideas, but they do not have the gift of government. They cannot plan that thing. They cannot organize it. They cannot get it systematized. It's wonderful, and Brother Begley will know this from past. It's wonderful when you got somebody, you say, hey, we're going to have this event. Could you get everything ready and organized? And it's wonderful to do that. And my wife does great on that. You know, we're going to have this. I just tell her we're going to have this special day, and she starts organizing things. Well, we got to go here and get this. We need to get so-and-so to do that. Man, you say, that don't sound very spiritual. It's tremendously spiritual. You know, all these things, we see what's up here, but all those things are support to what goes on up here. And if we didn't have all those things, we wouldn't have what goes on up here. How many knows that? It's kind of like with an army. And I don't remember the exact ratio, but we think of the one on the front line doing the fighting, and we're not minimizing that at all. But I believe the ratio, some of you in the military may remember, is maybe my son will, I think it's like 16 to 1. The one on the front line, it takes 16 support from supply on. And that's the way it is in the church. It's the way that ministry works. This is not an exhaustive list, and music, would you come tonight? I just want to begin to summarize before we quit here. But your inclinational gift will be what will motivate you to be involved in a specific ministry. We have these ministries of the church, but it's your gift that motivates you where you're going to be in that ministry. You know, I'm going to tell you, honestly, I mean, I would try if I was really needed, but it would be a disaster for me to try to work a puppet. I have no interest in working puppets, right? But some folks can turn those puppets into living things almost, right? And that's the way God does it. He gives people this thing that motivates them to a specific ministry. I want to make two things clear. First of all, natural ability alone is not what I'm talking about. Let me give you a quick example. Some people have a natural ability to teach, and this is not directed at them. We've got school teachers here, and they have a natural ability to teach, and I think they would agree that just because you can teach in a school or you could teach at a college doesn't necessarily mean you have the spiritual gift to teach spiritual things. So it's not just natural ability. On the other hand, even though it's supernatural, God, by his supernatural power, uses the natural ability. So if you have a natural ability to teach, if God has given you a supernatural gift, he takes your natural ability and empowers it with the Holy Spirit and accomplishes eternal things in his church. Amen. That's the way it's going to work. So I want you to ask yourself tonight, maybe you don't know yet, but begin to ask the question, God, what gift is it that you've given me? And then the next question is going to be, God, what role do you want me to play in your body using the gift which you've given me? You know, this is an attitude thing. It really, really is. There's been a sermon I've been wanting to preach for years. I've got several of those, and I just never feel this is the time to preach it. And this here, I'm sure, is not original to me. In fact, I think I heard the title, no pun intended, what I'm about to say. But I wanted to preach this message. Are you looking for a title or for the towel? How many knows what that's a reference to? Remember when Jesus came in with his disciples at that Last Supper? Oh, I don't have time to go into the story. It was the servant's role to wash the feet. There wasn't a servant there to do it, but not one of the disciples rose from the table to fulfill that servant's role until Jesus arose, laid aside his garments, and took a towel
and girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He took the towel. He was willing to take the lowest servant's position and wash feet. I'm telling you, what I'm talking about is recognizing you have a gift. And what will cause you to find your place in the body of Christ is you're not looking for a title or a position. You're looking for, what towel does Christ have for me? What towel? If you'll have that attitude, you'll soon find yourself right in the place in the body of Christ where he wants you. Because that's the heart of Christ. How many knows he himself came, said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Did he say that? I had a very personal illustration of this week. I had a friend pastor call me from across the United States, and he had lost a family in this church, not real recently, but not too far back in the past. And I said, what happened? And he said, well, this family, they had the head of the family was actually the grandparents. They're the ones that were calling the shots. They said, this family had a grandson that felt like he was called to preach. And he'd been telling that, sharing that. He tried to preach a few times. And the grandparents finally came to the pastor and said, we're leaving the church. And so the whole family's leaving, you know. The pastor said, why? And here's what they said. They said, because our grandson was called to preach, and you still haven't given him a title. My grandson was called to preach, and you still haven't given him a title. You know, not to be smart at all. That's why I feel like if one of these young men, let's say Nathan, came to me and said, Pastor Hurst, I feel called to preach, I'd feel more like saying, well, Brother Nathan, you really feel called to preach? You know, there's some behind the Vaughn Hall, there's some trees that need to be cut down. Would you come here Saturday morning, help me cut down those trees? You know, we got to get this. It's not about a title. It's about a towel. Right? It's about a towel. I want to serve because that's the heart of the master. Hallelujah. Can you envision that? Everybody born again fulfilling a ministerial role in the body of Christ. I want to have that attitude, don't you? Could you stand, church? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be playing that. Play whatever. I'm just saying there's a song coming through my mind. I don't know where it's coming from. And it may be because I heard you play it. Maybe not. But there was a song some time ago that says, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Amen. Didn't he do that? Didn't he use just some pebbles one time? And he's used pitchers of water, and he's used a shepherd boy. And he's, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. How many would come to the altar with that attitude tonight? Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me and make yourself available to the Lord. Would you come tonight, fill this altar? And if you're here tonight and you're still feeling that tugging to know Christ as Savior, just join the church as they come, and somebody will be here to pray with you tonight. Would you do that? But would you come and say, Lord, show me what it is you have. God, let me feel that gift at work in my heart, inclining me, pushing me, motivating me to be a servant to meet a need, to be a servant to meet a need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's seek him tonight in this altar. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Lord, that you're talking to hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to save to the uttermost. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, show me what it is you have for me to do. Let me feel that in my heart, motivating me, pushing me, stirring me, stimulating me. This is what you have for me to do. Have that vision, Lord. Have that burden, Lord. Have that direction, Lord.
Use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
You can
Hallelujah,
use anything,
Jesus.
Lord. You can use me.
would you have me do?
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
To Moses, take the rod in your hand, stretch it forth, and walk on dry land. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything. Touch my heart, Lord, speak.